Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message. So welcome to church. We are excited that you're here today. How many excited to be in the house this morning? Do you feel the electricity in the house? Amen, amen. Well, who's ready to get into the word? You guys ready? All right, somebody shout out, let's go. All right, let's go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. This is going to be a new collection of talks this Sunday and next Sunday. That's going to be Old Testament. Some of y'all are going to have to peel back, you know, blow off the dust right there on that section of the Bible, you know. How many of you know sometimes you start flipping pages and they stick together? If you'd actually use that thing more often. No, Pastor B, I got my glowing Bible. Okay, well, let it glow this morning then. Just a little backstory on this. This is another one of those stories where we're kind of diving in, jumping in the middle of this. And it's so funny because I had already prepared what we were going to be discussing for the next 2 weeks. And then this morning, as I was getting ready, I always like to turn on another podcast just to kind of hear what others are doing and kind of get charged up for this morning. And it was actually Elevation Church, but it wasn't Pastor Stephen. It was Larry Bry, who is one of his campus pastors. And he actually was speaking on... it was actually filling in the gap, and it was so funny because if you remember the first Sunday after Dad passed that I was back, I preached a message called, it just left me. It was something about the gap. It was something about filling the gap. I can't remember. Somebody have to go look at podcasts. I can't remember. But anyway, it was like right there. And then I was like, I started listening this morning as I was getting ready, and it's actually the backstory of what we're getting ready to dive into. So I encourage you after today and next Sunday, then go back and check out Elevation's podcast. Larry Bry is from last Sunday is actually jumping a little bit further than where we are going to go. Somebody's like, why'd you tell us all that? Dude, if you're not reading the Bible, it's better than a soap opera. That's all the men in the house said it. What, ladies like, don't you be messing with my soap operas now. I'm a Sonny fan for life. General Hospital. Now, if you can just shout that loud when the word's being, I'm just playing, Natty. I'm just playing. So anyway, here, if you haven't, there may be a little Sonny in our house. How did you think I knew to call his name? Okay, I'm just uncovering this morning. Transparency. Listen, a little backstory as you're turning, 1 Samuel chapter 14. If you've never heard this story before, it's a story about this guy by the name of Jonathan. Everybody say Jonate. Not the one on the front row. This is the one in the Bible. You've been looking good for your age, son. We're reading about you today. But he is the son of King Saul, and he decides to take matters into his own hands. How many ever been there before? And everybody said, oh, me. He took matters into his own hands, but this wasn't a good way. And he wanted to wage war against the Philistine army, even though they were heavily outnumbered because of his father Saul, because Saul was afraid to fight. And so his son decided to step up to the plate. And Jonathan goes into war, and as he goes, he looks at his armor bearer, and he says, you know, this may seem crazy, and I know this might seem foolish, but I just believe that God is for us. Here he is, Jonathan. He's not the man in charge, but he decides, you know what? My dad is making some jacked up decisions, so I'm going to step forward and I'm going to take us to war, even though there are more of them than there are us. He said, you know what? I know this is crazy. I know this is foolish, but I just believe God is with us. It's kind of like a church in this little town you've never heard of called Chiefland, Florida, that launched a building program in the middle of a pandemic when there was nobody in this room except for those that were watching via Facebook Live. And God instructed us to start a building program in the middle of a pandemic when we didn't even know if we were going to have enough money to pay the lights. But we never missed a bill. We never missed a payment for this space that we now rent and occupy until our home is built. Amen. And I can report to you today that sitting in the building fund account is right at $42,000 in just a little over a year because of the faith of you guys and your leadership team that said, I know it sounds foolish, I know it sounds crazy, but I just believe that God is for us. And so this is what Jonathan did. And Jonathan's armor bearer looked back at him after he said that. And he said, you do what you think is best, but I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. There's another translation that says, I'm with you heart and soul. And I believe that the people that are gathered here today are with the mission of God for this city, heart and soul. I do believe that. Do you believe that? And I believe in this season that we're walking in right now, we're getting ready to face. We were having a conversation in the car last night with Adam and Sarah as we were driving back from Jacksonville. I said, as soon as that property is purchased, which we are right around the corner, right, as soon as we do that, this thing's going to be picking up momentum. And I just understand, I've been doing this, been around ministry a long time, that at the moment that you step into the arena and you start possessing land that God has promised you, just understand that the enemy is going to attack you with everything that he's got. And I just believe that, and I really believe this, that because we were obedient in the middle of a pandemic and you guys immediately start giving towards this thing, because it's time. Everybody say it's time. It's time for us to come home. And I just believe because of our obedience, he was faithful then, he's faithful now, and he'll be faithful then, that whatever obstacle the enemy tries to throw our way. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. I think I'm revved up now. Let's go ahead and go to the Bible. Sometimes you got to get that engine started. You know, on a cold morning, we don't see a lot of those in Florida, but on a cold morning, what we used to do, go out there and turn the car and run back inside and let it get crunk. Whatever. Get heated. I'm heated. Let's go. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3 says this. One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. That's a key verse right there. We may pick that back up next week. Say, he didn't tell. He didn't tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men, this is the king now, his 600 men were camped out on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah the priest, who was wearing the ephod, the priestly vest. Ahijah was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub. Man, I don't know who came up with names back then, but it's almost like you need a translation for it. Okay, anyway, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord who served at Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had left Israel's camp. Let me just tell you this. When God gives you a mission, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go and spread it to the world right then. Even though you have access to all kinds of social media platforms, not everybody needs to know your plans. We knew about that property behind Beef's for almost a year before you guys did. I had already had a conversation with the property owner. You know the story. Property's not for sale, but it is for sale to us. That's why Pastor B's not worried about it being there right now and somebody moving on in, because it's not that land's promised. What's that old song? This land is our land. Is that even a your land? My land, from California to, that was a school song, wasn't it? Yeah, been a long time since I was in the classroom, and I didn't pay attention when I was in it, so that's why I don't even remember the words. But anyway, I just believe that you don't have to tell everybody. Maybe you want to put that in your notes. When God speaks to me, I don't have to share it with everybody. He didn't tell his own father what God had showed him or instructed him to do. And as a matter of fact, the 600 people in the camp didn't even know that the king's son had left. Amen. I want to speak to you for the next few moments from this subject. The cost of indecision and uncertainty. The cost of indecision and uncertainty. I don't know what you went through this week or what you may be facing right now in this season of your life, but I just believe that God brought you here today to hear this specific message. Somebody say, this message is for me. If you're tuning in online, it's the same thing. He prepared this message for you. If you're listening on podcasts at a later date, he already knew that this date, whatever that date is that you're listening, that this message is specifically for you. If this message was a movie trailer, and I'm a big movie buff, I love movies. If this message was a movie trailer, it would be kind of like this. When it comes to the things of God in your life, when it comes to obtaining victory that God has for you, when it comes to pursuing purpose and victory that God has for you, and the purpose and destiny and the breakthrough that God has for your life, listen, this is my first point. Indecision will cost you. When God gives you a word, when he reveals your purpose and the plan for your life, the moment of indecision will cost you. And that's what we're looking at today with the story of Jonathan and King Saul. Indecision will be the most costly decision you will ever make. Indecision. Do I go now or do I not? Do I move now? Dad always said this, proceed until prohibited. Because let me tell you something. If you're not supposed to go and you're following God and you're not supposed to go, he doesn't want you to go, he will provide a stop. But he also knows that we have free will that's real strong. I know I'm small in outward appearance, but my will is like Greg Michael at the door. That's the big gentleman y'all saw on the way in. That's how my will is. And he will let my will push right on through, and I can have my way and get whatever I want. And I told y'all last week, the most dangerous thing that can happen in your life is when God lets you have your way. I know, because I speak from experience. Indecision is a thief. And I don't know about you, but I want to take action. And that's what we're doing as a ministry. I want to take action. When God gives me assignment, I'm ready to strap the boots up. Let's go. Come on, somebody say, let's go. Speaking of taking action, how many knows that Christmas is right around the corner? Y'all like Christmas? Love Christmas. Anybody realize that, well, let me ask it this way. How many are overachievers and you already have at least one gift purchased for somebody? Becky, I expected that. I expected it. Anybody, Sarah? Anybody else? Yeah. Any of those people that you look for the sales immediately after Christmas all the way for next year, and you immediately put it in the, anybody do that kind of stuff? Yeah. Christmas trees, decorations, those things. Christmas stresses me out. And the church said, amen. Listen, Christmas can be stressful for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. And not just for those buying the gifts. What about the people that you're participating in the family gift exchange? When somebody gets your name and that you know they probably put in everything they can to get your gift, and you're like, dear God, please let it be something that I like so I don't have to put that fake face on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, when you're like, oh, it's great. It's stressful because you don't know if you're going to be disappointed. And if you're disappointed, you don't want your disappointment to disappoint them. It's stressful. Everybody nudge your neighbor and say, it's stressful. It's stressful. Gift exchanges stress me out. And a lot of this goes back to my childhood. I don't like surprises. Anybody else? I want to know up front what's coming down. You know, it's like a text message. I want to know that when I send Adam, I don't necessarily need to know his response. I just need to see the bubbles coming back that he is responding at some time to me, right? Like, I just need to know. Don't leave me on red. Come on. Come on. That's a word for you, brother. Don't leave me on red when I'm just playing. I don't like surprises. I don't. When I was back in corporate America, I didn't need to know how much my Christmas bonus was going to be. Come on, somebody. Y'all like, you believe for Christmas bonus? I didn't need to know how much it was. Just let me know that there is a check coming. Amen. Amen. The church said amen. And then our uncle. We all got the same uncle. Y'all know his name, right? Uncle Sam. He always gets his cut, too. Right, let me move right along, because that just could have started up a whole new thing of anxiety right there, just, and stress. I don't know about you, but I don't need to know everything. I just need to know something. And that's what stresses me out sometimes, and we've talked a lot about stress in the past few weeks, is God will tell you he has a plan for you, but he doesn't always show you every step in that plan. Amen. Remember I said I don't like surprises? And that's because the Bible says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. He wants us to trust him more. He just needs to know, hear the word. This is what you're going to do. Now it's time for you to go out and make it happen, Captain. Amen. Anybody else struggle with that? Listen, one of the root causes of anxiety and uncertainty is a lack of clarity. And both of these scenarios can cause a lack of confidence. I'm driving down this about how when we know we're supposed to be doing something, but we become uncertain or we're not really sure, and we become indecisive. A lot of times we go through seasons where we're like, I don't even know if God is God here right now. We went through COVID. God, what are you doing? Listen, anxiety and insecurity often lead to indecision. Have you ever been in a situation where life didn't go your way? Didn't go the way you expected it to? And then at that moment you were left with indecision. What do I do now? Listen, it's easy to become paralyzed when we step into a season of indecision where moving forward is literally impossible because of the fear of making the wrong decision. It's like, I don't even know if I'm supposed. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus, God says, my sheep know my voice. If you hear the voice of God and you believe that you should stand on that and you begin moving forward. Amen. Don't let indecision creep in. What's the purpose of even trying anymore? Anybody ever said that? Man, what's the purpose? What's the use? I've tried it. It's just not working. What's the use? The answer could be found in 2 Chronicles 15:7. It says this, but as for you, everybody say me. As for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. Sometimes you got to go back to God. If nobody else is giving you an attaboy, if nobody else is singing your praises, and you know that you're doing what God has called you to do, most of the time what God calls you to do has little to do with being in the spotlight and more to do behind closed doors and behind the scenes. Because God wants to know, can he trust you with little before he gives you much? That's why I say all the time, we're going to leave these little areas, these rooms, we're going to leave them better than we found them. And those of you that moved in on day one, y'all know this was a hot mess in here. Walmart like just ripped up and left. They threw some walls up and hoping something they could make some money off of it. And God said, hey, I got use for that house. We came in and we've made it. It's better than a lot of places we've been. Amen. It's better than a lot of places you've been. Amen. And I believe God has pulled us all in here together for one purpose, and that is to expand and advance his kingdom here on earth. Amen. And it starts inside of you and I. Amen. Be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. Listen, anytime you do something for the Lord in the right motives, it will not be overlooked. But if you've got the wrong motives, you will leave disappointed, upset, and disgruntled with the church. I just dropped that in there real quick. The moment that you get offended is because your motives were wrong. It's not about me, Pastor, but apparently it was, because you left the church with a big hot neon sign on your back that said, offended, offended, offended. Okay, I'll jump out of the ring, because some of y'all, you don't like that truth. But sometimes the truth that you know or you need to know will set you free. We ain't coming here to play patty cake, because the devil ain't playing patty cake. He's trying to kill you, not give you a headache. He's trying to divide your family, not try to help you hold it together. Well, why don't you just go to church? That's what you need for your family. That you won't hear that from the devil. He'll cause hell to come up in your life right in the middle of Sunday morning. You're trying to fix breakfast, and this ain't happened in my house, not anytime recently anyway, but because I know it's a lot of times y'all like, he's coming up with these stories so hot and fresh, coming in hot, they must be in his house. No. But I will tell you, you try to get up, do things for your family, and do all this and make it all right, put it in a package, because you're trying to say, today is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad. Let me be a servant in my house. And in that moment, something happens, and the enemy shows up in your child. Y'all know it's true. I almost went to him, but he shaved his head. Some of y'all be going to your kids talking about, I know there's some horns in there somewhere. I like that haircut, by the way. A lot less maintenance. And for those that don't have as many, he remembers the original count. Amen. This is exactly what was happening with King Saul. Indecision created by paralysis. Listen, God anointed him and called him. In chapter 13, Saul doesn't just step into leadership. He was like 30 years old when he became king, and he was king, I think, for like 40 years. The Bible says that he immediately, when he was setting up his kingdom, that he immediately started gathering soldiers and gathering chariots and military leaders, and he begins building the strength of his city to such a place that Israel had never seen before. As a matter of fact, King Saul was killing it. He was, as Joel Osteen would say, he's living his best life. He was living his best life. But all of a sudden, things started to change. Why? I love Joel Osteen, by the way. I hear you down there giggling. Talking about this brother, talk about anybody. No, man, he's my brother. He's just the happiest dude I ever seen. How many know that when you start walking in a thing that God has for you, the attack of the enemy is inevitable? It's coming. Listen, and when you start stepping on the toes of the enemy and territory that God says is yours, it's not going to come without a fight. Listen, just because God gives you word, it doesn't mean the enemy is not going to wage war. Just because God makes a promise, you can bet your bottom dollar that the enemy is coming after you. He's actually trying to get to the territory before you do. And sometimes he'll even show you, the grass is always greener on the other side. He'll show you something. Listen, he's crafty. He'll show you something else and get you to turn and deviate from where you were headed. And even cause you to believe that, well, this is better than that. So it must be God, because God always wants better for me. I'm pushing, I know. What we see happening here is the Philistines aren't down. They're not down for this word that God is going to give the Israelites the territory. And right in the middle, King Saul makes some bad decisions. He makes bad decisions out of his insecurity. He makes bad decisions out of his ego. He makes bad decisions out of his pride. I mean, his story sounds a lot like my story has sounded in the past. And if I don't surrender my flesh, I can still operate out of pride and ego. That's why I'm real quick to say, God is using release, but it's not about release. And I'm just a vessel, and it's not about me. It's about availability. Always about him. King Saul starts doing things to protect his image. I'm hoping you're connecting some lines to maybe where you are in your life and what's causing you to be indecisive. He starts making decisions that would protect his image, but it was not in obedience to God's word. And these decisions cost him his influence and his leadership. Anytime you act out of ego, it will erode the anointing of God on your life. I have watched pastors, I have watched evangelists, I have watched people, great men of God, who God used them mightily, but because of an area or a season where pride seeped in, the anointing of God left. The call of God is irrevocable, but the thing that actually empowers you to do it, called his anointing, it can decrease. The gift is still there. You just got to get back under so the anointing can flow. The Bible tells us that King Saul was anxious and insecure. Instead of stepping into the place that God was calling him, he started stepping back. Where was he at? He was outside the city gates under a pomegranate tree. He used to have an army of thousands, and only all he had left, because he was making decisions based on his pride and ego and what would make him look better. All he had left was 600 men, and he was hiding under a pomegranate tree outside the city. What is fear and anxiety? Where is it causing you to hide out at? Because of fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, has now become indecisive. I wonder how many of us today are sitting here and we started pursuing something or an area that we knew God was calling us to, but because things got shaky and uncertain, instead of continuing forward, we start stepping back. Because he wasn't answering in the time frame, we thought, okay, I can actually probably make that happen faster. and you stepped away. Last year in the pandemic, when the pandemic hit, as a ministry, we were faced with tremendous, all the churches, and not just churches, but restaurants. I mean, it's one, but I'm gonna anchor in on the church because we're non-denominational, which means there's nobody at a corporate office writing big checks to make sure that we're secured. there's none of that. And so we had to believe, God, what's going on? We're seeing all this, restaurants closing down, mom and pop shops, all this stuff. And God, what about your house? Well, we shouldn't have closed the doors. Nobody said you had to. No, but it's my responsibility to make sure you stay safe. I will always err on the side of caution if it protects you. Amen. Always. It doesn't mean my faith wasn't there. I just was being obedient to what God said for this house. Because we said it yesterday, when God starts doing stuff, the enemy loves to dip some spoons in and start stirring stuff up. And this pastor ain't got no time for drama. Keep that for your mama. I'm serious. Don't look for people. Don't look at people for advice to build something who have never built anything. Don't expect people to lead that have never led anything. Before you can ever be over anything, you got to learn to get under. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. But what happened? We didn't flinch. We didn't step back. If anything, we step forward. We look for new creative ways to be connected. Yeah. And we live in a small town. There's no big hefty givers in here. It's all of us doing our part. God is showing that he's awesome. You can trust him. Listen, if you're in a season of insecurity and uncertainty, don't sit down, stand up. Let me say it again. If you're in a season, and it's a season, seasons come and seasons go. Don't ever make a permanent decision based on a temporary season. If you're in a season right now of insecurity and uncertainty, don't sit down. Bless God, stand up. If the enemy puts a seat in front of you to have a seat, you use that. I can't. Heck no. If the enemy puts something for you to take a rest, you get up on it and say, thank you, devil, I'll use that. Now my voice can be heard much louder. Sorry, no four-wheeler in the house today. All you got is me. Already word going around town. Y'all hear about that Release City Church? That pastor done, he didn't just crank it up. He told him to move the chairs, and he rolled through there, and then he's jumping up and down. They talking. Let's give them something to talk about. Talk about Jesus. Listen. It's time to stand up and believe God for what he says. He is true to his word. He is not a liar. And if God did it before, bless God, he'll do it again and again. If you're in the middle of a fight, fight back. Listen, don't fall back, fight back. It's time to stand up and step into what you cannot see. That's called faith. If you're willing to sit under the pomegranate tree, I'm just here to tell you somebody else will be willing to stand up in your place for your promise. Amen. We get so ungrateful. That's why I don't like to talk about, you know, this. We're grateful for this place. I remember growing up and loading up that big old speaker, going up the stairs. This was after we did church not a garage, but a carport. We loaded our equipment up to the top of that stairs at that little hotel. So I don't want you to ever think he's downgrading what we have. No. I'm grateful for where we are, but I know this ain't it. This is not it. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. Listen, and if you're willing to sit down through indecision, and uncertainty, somebody else will step up. That's why I'm always saying, church, we got to move. Church, we got to move. I want to be the one when he's passing out the things that he's calling for this area. I want to be first in line going, okay, this is what you got. And then I'm passing it off to, it's not about me. I'm passing it off to the next generation. I'm passing it off. That's why I showed up Friday morning with some of you guys as we cooked for the varsity football team. And dude, that was, I got to share this. And so the whole deal is we feed the boys at 7 a.m. and then there's usually about a 5-10 minute devotional. And last time, I didn't know I was supposed to do a devotional, and I think I had to leave or take Ansley to school. Something happened, and I had to leave. And they called me, and they said, Pastor B, you're supposed to be doing the devotion. I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know. Why? Because that's what Dad used to always do. Dad, I sat on the sidelines for years, not physically. I didn't play football, okay, so don't, this ain't that body. But I would sit on the sidelines at First Baptist and I would watch Dad speak into the lives of students and young people and tell them they're winners and they're champions. And so this week, guess what I did? We fed them breakfast. Coach Gore got up and said, okay, guys, I'll see you at 3 p.m. And I knew something was off because I hadn't done the devotional. And I said, hey, Coach, do I need to do a devotion? He goes, you got something? I was like, yeah. And I had a moment. I could have been silent. I could have sat down because the enemy said, they don't need you. They don't need you to. And that would have been fine. It wasn't that I prepared, so I need to say something. No, I needed to be able to stand where I needed it for me. I needed to be able to stand where my dad stood. Because let me tell you, that was a hard to stand where my dad stood and look those boys in the eyes and say, it doesn't matter, boys, if you bring the W tonight or not. You're a winner on and off the field because this thing we're in called life, it's more than a game. And you're a winner and you're a champion. And I believe in you. I start saying things. It's like it was. I got to have those back because I can't see without them. It was like dad was looking at them. And I said, look, I'm not sharing anything with y'all that I'm not already experiencing and walking in myself. When life throws you a curveball, don't give up. You fight back. And that's for somebody here today. When life throws you a curveball and is pushing on you and you're in a fight, you fight back. Amen. But I'm a girl. Fight like a girl. I just wonder if somebody else is getting ready to step into something that God called you to step into. May I never miss an opportunity to step into an assignment and allow somebody else to take my place. I'll be doggone. Amen. And that's what you need to have a doggone. Amen. Because I was unwilling to obey God and what he's called me to do. Listen, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. This is your next point. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Yeah. We procrastinate like God's not on. He's not on a time schedule. But when God says move, he means move. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Quick story, true story. Years ago, talking about people stepping into what was called for you. No secret, I don't hunt. I don't wear camo. I don't pay big fees to go hunting all the time. But I like clothes. That's not a big hot secret, right? I'll never forget one time, this was years ago, before Amy. I went to a store because I needed to buy a shirt. And I got there, and I found some that I liked, but there was this one shirt I had to have. But something in my mind said, go back to the other store that you were just at because you had something there and try it on because I didn't try it on. And how many knows you don't just leave that shirt if it's the only one there with your size because it's hard to find my size. And so anybody ever done the hide and go seek where you put it somewhere else in the store? You ever done that? Works. I picked up some tips from my wife. And so I'm in hot mess now. Anyway, so I put it up and I walked away and I got to my car and I said, no, that's the one that I want. And I went back to get it. And can I tell you, as I walked in, I looked at the counter and some dude found my hiding place and he had the shirt that I wanted. No, I'm serious. I don't know if he really found my hiding place or if he watched me hide it. But he got what was supposed to be mine. Because it was in my possession and I gave it up. How many of you have had something in your possession that you're giving up on? In closing, I wonder what God has called you to carry in this season, but because you have been indecisive and unable to make a decision, somebody else has picked up the purpose that God intended for your life. Indecision caused you to miss the moment. That sounds like bad news, and that's not how I want to end it, so I want to say this. But grace. Because you're not looking at a perfect pastor. You're not looking at a perfect dude. By no means. I have missed it time and time and time again. I may miss it tomorrow. But his grace sustains me. And because of his grace, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you can step into that purpose. And you can reclaim what you let go of or what you're currently releasing that God is saying, no, I want you to hold on to that. I can do something. Yeah, but God, do you see what this marriage is like? Do you see what I'm having to deal with? He'll go, if you'll put it in my hands. Because you can't change him and you can't change her. But he can. Because he's still changing me. Listen, I'm no longer going to live with insecurity. Man, I battled that for years. I know that probably is like a shock to you, but being up here doing this is afraid of. Actually, more insecure about one-on-one with people. This leading worship is natural because it's not about me. It's about him. And then open up the word. That's what he's wanted. It's what he has wanted to say to you guys and to me all week long. I say it time and time again. This message hits me before it ever reaches you. That's why I deliver it with such passion. Listen, it's time to stop letting fear and anxiety paralyze you and start letting it mobilize you. Let fear and anxiety mobilize you and stop hindering what you're supposed to be. Don't allow a failure or a setback cause you to be indecisive in stepping back into and stepping into what God has promised you. I faced indecision. A lot of you guys know what time of the year it is right now. 1 year ago this Wednesday would be the day that my father would be the day that I received the phone call from Coach Gore while I was at the gym and said, Bradley, your dad's not reported to work yet. Dad's on time, if not early, for everything. Unless Ohio State was playing. And he said, I'm on my way, but I'm in Bronson. I was like, I'm 2 minutes away. I'll be right there. And that was the morning that I walked in and I found my dad on the floor. Already gone. And you remember that just 3 weeks prior to that, my stepmom Robin passed. That day, after the whirlwind, and Josh and Brittany and I and Amy, we were in the house and we were just kind of retracing his steps that day because I knew that he had went to the gym that morning to work out because I called the gym and asked Karen to check the tapes and I got to go view those tapes and I'm so glad that I did. That was the last time anybody saw Dad. And there's one of him actually having a conversation with a guy. I've got it saved on my phone of him having a conversation. That's who Dad was, dude. I don't even know who the guy was. I don't even know if Dad knew him, but Dad didn't meet a stranger. Dad had time for everybody. And so I knew he had been at the gym. And so Josh and Brittany and I went into his office, into his study. And if you know Dad, he had like 4 or 5 devotionals that he read, had the date on them. And he would always, whatever year it was, because he would reread them. And whatever the year was we were in. So we knew, because it had 20 in a circle, he had read it. And he also flipped. This was on his desk, and I have not turned it from that page. This actually sits beside his recliner that I was able to keep in our home. And it sits there with his devotionals. And I looked over at it today. And I thought, this is what Dad would say to this house today. Stumblers who give up are a dime a dozen. In fact, they're useless. Stumblers who get up are as rare as rubies. In fact, they're priceless. And then Philippians 3:12 says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. I press on. Dad quoted that verse more times than not. I press on. I press on. I press on. I press. Can y'all see him? I press on. I press on. I press on. And he'd do this move. I press on. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then he walked in the bathroom and he went from the bathroom to glory. And today, his word is, when you stumble, get back up. Don't let it cause you to be indecisive and uncertain. Walk forward. That's what we're doing as a ministry. We're moving forward. I didn't bring any of that up to tickle your emotions. I was literally finishing up my notes, re-looking at them this morning. I looked over and I saw that, because this Wednesday will be 1 year. And I'm not staying here. I'm going to get on a plane on Tuesday, and I'm flying to the Buckeye State. Because that's what I remember. I don't want to be in the house. Some of you know we live there. I don't want to be in the house. I want to be where most of our memories, a lot of our fun times were made. There's no game. I'm just going to go up Tuesday, be there Wednesday, fly home on Thursday. Because I will push through. When the enemy fights, I fight back. And the only reason I'm transparent in these moments and retell that story, because I know that story needs to be told for people to understand, regardless of what life throws at you, you get back up. If you stumble, you get up. If you fall, you get up. And I just want to know how many in this house right now would want to stand up and say, I don't care what the devil throws at me this week, I'm going to stand back up. Anybody? I'm going to stand back up. I'm going to stand back up. I'm going to stand back up. You're a champion. You're a fighter. I believe in you. More importantly, God believes in you. Take this story. Apply it to your life. And no matter what comes, don't quit. Don't stop. And don't give up. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word today.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.